It wasn't just Andrew Benintendi today. It was JD Martinez, who has gotten hot.
That ball is gone! What a bullet by Devers!
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
It is time for another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. I'm Tom Carey to my home. He's Jerry Remy at his home. And for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, we are not here to talk about labor negotiations. Jerry, how nice is that?
That's real nice. I was so happy to see that finally come to an end. And, you know, it's kind of what I expected. You know, it's going to be some type of short season. And you're going to have to be hot out of the gate. There's no question about that. 60 games goes by real, real fast in a baseball season when it used to be at 162. So, it's you know, I'm just glad that that's put aside for the second. And for just a while, because that's going to pick back up again big time. But the fact is that it's put down now. They've got some games that they got to be able to play. You're going to have some sort of season. It's going to be short, but you're going to have a postseason. You're going to have a World Series. And I think that makes a lot of us feel a lot better. No, it makes me feel better. I'm going to have something to do, obviously. And it's going to make everybody feel better that's a baseball fan. Now we'll see how this proceeds from this point out, you know, between spring training and the start of the regular season.
Before we completely move away from the labor negotiations, though, it is amazing that even to the very end, they couldn't come together. And even in the announcement, the players saying no to the last proposal, but saying no, but you go ahead. And then baseball, and now, you know, even at the very end, they couldn't come together. I think we'll move past it, but it did. They just... You figure at some point they would have been able to at least act like they were on the same page. It never happened. They just never could get together on this.
Well, I think it just goes to show you, TC, how much bitterness there is on each side. You know, like we talked last week about the meeting between Manfred and Tony Clark down in Phoenix. And, you know, everything seemed to be a little bit cool after that. And, you know, it seemed like, you know, they had a decent relationship going, a framework for an agreement. Well, that all went out the window in 24 hours. And it was like, my goodness, enough of this stuff, you know. And so finally, it actually came down to what I think maybe most of us expected. Manfred was going to have to mandate a season, and that's exactly what he did. And now we'll see how this season goes. I mean, to me, at least it's baseball. It's going to be different baseball, and you'll talk about that later. But it's going to be baseball, and that's what we all love. That's what we all want to do. And so hopefully we get a chance to do it.
Going to take you way back for a minute. I don't know if you remember the first one of these we did at JetBlue Park up in the press box before we all got sent our separate ways. This was before baseball even officially announced they were stopping. You said you thought they would start playing in June. Sure enough, I know the season won't start in June, but they're going to be on the field in June. I got to give you credit. That's pretty good for having said that 5 months ago, 4 months ago.
You know, I think people were taking this lightly during spring training. And, you know, we were down there in that little bubble of where everything was fine. And all of a sudden, the thing happened in the NBA. And, you know, I was keeping in touch with what was going around the country. And I'm saying, wait a minute, this is not good. This is not good stuff. It's not like we're going to be gone for five weeks or 3 weeks and come back and we're going to pick up spring training and open the season and maybe just miss a few games. So I picked a number. I said June 1st, I think, is before – they play. I thought at that time they'd probably be playing a regular season game on June 1st. Well, that's going past. I'm about a month off. I'm about a month off of everything. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that I just anticipated at that time that this is going to be a serious, serious problem. It's not going to be something that's going to – we're going to go home for a week and then, oh, we're going to come back to Fort Myers. We're going to finish. We may have to, you know, start the season a week late. Uh-uh. That's not the way I felt at the time. And as it turned out, I was correct on that. But I was off by a month. I'll take blame for that.
You were pretty close. All right. As we talk here, the schedule hasn't been announced. I hear they're going through some tweaks. I've heard some different news here and there. Part of, I think, the holdup, at least preliminarily, was Toronto, because there's still some issues about going across the border. And so they would have played in Dunedin, but now Florida is a hotspot.
Right.
I even heard a rumor that they may play at the Trop. They may share the facility with Tampa Bay. So you'd have Toronto and Tampa Bay both playing at Tropicana Field, which would take one road trip away for everybody. You just go there and play both teams. So that's interesting. But what we know, Jerry, is 10 teams against each of your American League East opponents for the Red Sox, obviously, and then a total of 20 games against the National League, which is interesting because apparently the Yankees and Mets will play their 6 games. So it's not going to be 5 games against everybody. They're going to do the home and home natural rival. I don't know if the Red Sox, we know over the years that it was the Braves for a while, it was the Phillies for a while. We've had different natural rivalries. I don't know if they will have one. But in general, it's a divisional and interleague divisional schedule. Right. What do you think about? We kind of known that's the way it was going to play out. What do you think about that aspect of this schedule?
I think it's okay. You know, I think that the more we get to play the East, the better. I mean, I think that makes sense. That's how you kind of built your teams in the offseason, right, to kind of match up against the teams in your division. So I think the more games that we get a chance to play against the American League East would be good. And then, of course, you mix in the other ball clubs with the games you got to play against them. But that seems to make a lot of sense to me. There's not been a lot that has made sense to me over the last couple of months, but there's quite a few of the things that we're going to talk about that do make sense to me. And I think that's one of them. I think that's good. You know, people want to see the Red Sox play the Yankees. They want to see that. I want to see Toronto because they're a good young ball club, that, you know, an upcoming ball club. I mean, these are clubs I want to see, you know, and it's I know it's difficult with the way they have to try to make out the schedule. I understand that. But I think the more games you can play against your division, your last year's division, I think benefits baseball. I really do, because that's what you're used to seeing.
I think the interesting thing is the NL East is stacked. So now you're going to face the Nationals, the defending champs. You're going to face the Braves. You know, the Mets have pitching, let alone what you're already seeing with the Yankees and the Rays pitching staff. It's going to be the easy. If you're in the East, it's the easiest travel because you never leave the time zone and the trip. You know, if you're in New York, your trips are all pretty close, right, up and down the coast. The West is a mess because you've got multiple time zones. You got the Texas teams, Colorado, all the California teams, so their travel won't be easy. But, man, the competition, if you're facing the AL and NL East, that's as tough as it's going to get.
Well, you know, it really is. And you look at the clubs in this division, and, you know, and they're all teams that are probably picked on a 162-game schedule to win their divisions. So, I mean, you're going up against this in 60 days. So, I mean, it's going to be incredibly difficult to do. You know, you're going to have to get off to a great start. It's going to be interesting to me to see what kind of shape the players come in for spring training, how hard they've been working, you know, how much they can get accomplished in a month's worth of spring training, whatever it's going to be, 3 or 4 weeks, you know, how much they can get accomplished and how fresh and ready they are to go. With fresh they will be, but how ready they are to go on opening day. And they've got to come out of the chute thing, because you come out of the chute in a league that's got 60 games and you go 1-8, you're done. You're done. You know, after 60 games in a normal baseball season, you say to yourself, well, here's where we are right now, and here's where we got to go. You kind of figure out the kind of team you got, and you still got 100 games left to play. At 60, we're done. We're closing the books on it. So, you know, you better get this stuff squared away in a hurry, and that's going to be the interesting thing. It's the teams that can come out pitching well right out of the chute are going to be the strongest teams.
Some interesting stuff towards that end. 30-player roster to break camp, which gives them extra pitchers, which they're going to need. 2 weeks later, it goes down to 28. 2 weeks after that, it goes down to 26 for the rest of the year. A 60-man roster, if you will, instead of a 40-man roster. So you're going to have let's assume there's no – I mean, they haven't officially announced it, but there won't be any minor league baseball. So there won't be a AAA team to call up from. So you'll have that other 30 to 34 players – working out, playing somewhere, staying ready. And when you go on the road, you get to bring 3 extra players as a taxi squad so guys don't have to fly the next day if someone gets injured. All of that makes sense, but Chaim Bloom and all the other GMs, they've never done this before. There's going to be some interesting decisions as we watch who they keep, who they don't, who stays back, and who goes.
You're exactly right. And, you know, they were talking about that a little bit in the paper this morning about some guys that had a potential to make the team, like guys like LeCroy, who may not be able to because of the money that, you know, he's making.
Right.
So, you know, you got a lot of major decisions to make in a very, very short period of time. And you're right, that taxi squad thing, that's a whole different animal. I mean, who do you bring on that? And the thing is, remember, it's major league time. If there are certain players that you don't want to get major league time right away, right?
That's right.
And
they're right.
Sometimes your top prospects, that's why they hold them off for a year and to a certain time. They want them to be part of a taxi squad that's going to come up and play maybe two games and then go back to the taxi squad and he gets major league time. I don't know. So they, you know, these general managers right now, I think more than ever have their work cut out for them. And I'm glad I'm not one.
Universal DH, we expected that only for this year. Although I think most people seem to believe once you bring it in, it's never going to go back in the bottle. But this is long overdue, especially this year. A third of your season is going to be against the National League. So right. You better have a DH for both. But this has been long overdue. I know neither one of us really like interleague play. But if you're going to do it, it's got to be the same rules and the same rosters.
Oh, I think so. I've always believed that. I've always believed that it's foolish to have two different sets of rules, especially when you get to the World Series and – you know, you get to those interleague games. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I grew up at the DH, you know, in the minor leagues and also in the major leagues. And so I've always been a DH guy. I like the DH. I don't find it extremely exciting to see a pitcher come to the plate and you know, bunt or, you know, whatever they got to do. It doesn't interest me very much. You know, I'd rather see a David Ortiz come to the plate or, you know, a Manny Ramirez come to the plate than see a pitcher come to the plate. And I also feel this way. Pitchers in the game today are so important to the game. They are so important to it that why would you ever want to take a chance of having a pitcher hit right. and being injured by being hit by a pitch? You know, I mean, bad things could happen. And I've never understood that. I always thought they should be treated like quarterbacks in football, you know, where you got the special rules that take care of the quarterback. I think you should take care of the pitchers the same way. And why would you want them involved running the bases? You know, getting on base or whatever, if they get on base and having the run of bases. We've seen guys get injured with the Red Sox doing that at interleague play. So I'm all for the DH. I hope it goes, you know, not only this year, but I hope it continues on. And it becomes universal. So it's, you know, it's the way baseball is. I mean, it's how many leagues play with like two different sets of rules? It's crazy.
None. Yeah, none. The answer is none. There's another league in the world that does that. And then I'm holding off on one thing because that's what I want to dig into. A couple of other interesting small little things. There is a trade deadline, August 31st. It's about midway through the season. I started thinking about this this morning because I have no life. So you started thinking about all this stuff. It's really going to be hard to make a trade in the middle of this, isn't it? I mean, it's like firing a manager. I'm going to fire a manager in the middle of a 60 game, maybe at the end of the year, if you want to clean house for next year, you know, if things are bad, but you're not going to fire. I mean, I can't imagine teams making a drastic change, a big trade in the middle of this 2-month sprint. Can you?
I can't see it. You know, you've thought a lot about that more than I have, but I can't see it. You know, I mean, you've only played at that point how many games, you know?
Yeah, it's a month in, so you've played 25, yeah. 30 games.
And it's like, okay, well, we're not good enough, but it's too late. It's already too late. So why are you going to make a trade at that point? You know, you're already probably out of it. So I don't know. It's, you know, thank God I'm not Hein Bloom right now and these other general managers because they got stuff on their plate that they have never had to deal with, and it's got to be a learning experience for them too. And boy, I'm glad I'm not in that position because all I want to do, TC, is go through my 60 games, you know, at Nesson and enjoy them as much as I possibly can and come back home and not worry about these other things. Believe me, they have got those years are way gone for me.
Yeah.
There was a time when I thought maybe, you know, maybe I'd like to be a GM, you know, but no. Not any longer, not in today's baseball world.
Well, you can't afford the pay cut now, so we know how that goes. The three-batter minimum stays, we knew that was coming. We'll see how that plays out, right? The relief pitcher, three-batter minimum, try to speed up the game, I guess. We'll see how that goes.
Well, the only thing for me there is that it affects strategy, and that's the only thing I don't like about it. You know, I'm all for having quicker games, believe me. But I also, the left-on-right matchups, the left-on-left matchups, right-on-right matchups, I think are important, especially when you get later on in the ballgame. I know as a hitter, if I was a left-hander and I was on deck and I saw that lefty coming into the bullpen, I knew he was coming in for me. It'd be a lot more comfortable for me to see you can't bring anybody in as a right-hander on the mound. I know I'm going to face him. So that's the one that I'm a little bit like this about it. I want to see it tested. I want to see how it works out. But you know, if you want to quicken a game up, I got two simple ways to do it. One is a pitch clock, which is probably 20 seconds, and the other is not let a hitter get 1 foot out of the box. Let's play baseball. Let's just play baseball, and you'd be surprised how quick that picks up the game. It really does. It's amazing to watch.
That's how they used to do it, and games were, yep, you know, 2 hours and 20 minutes. All right, which gets us into the last couple of things I want to hit on. Now, the runner at second in the 10th inning.
I know you don't like that.
I'm saving that up. Here's the thing. I hated it originally. I watched it in the World Baseball Classic a couple springs ago, and it wasn't bad. I do think that this is a great opportunity to try it out. Nothing's going to be normal about this season. It's a 60-game season. You've got an excellent opportunity. I wish they brought a pitch clock in. I would throw everything in right now so absolutely that you can see what works. But I've seen a lot of reaction that a lot of people hate this. They think it's a gimmick they want. But I read the analysts say normally 42 or 43% of games that go to extra innings end in the 10th inning. In the minor leagues last year, 73% of extra innings games ended in the 10th inning because they put that runner on base. And that's the point. Do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it. I'm anxious to see it. You know, I know you're a big home run guy. You want to see the home run derby,
yes,
at the end of the game. And that wouldn't bother me either this year. It really wouldn't. I'm with you. It is try everything. Everything you've got in your back pocket that they've had in their back pocket for a couple of years at Major League Baseball, throw it all out there. Make it as interesting and different as you possibly can. It's only for 60 games. If it doesn't work, you go back to the old style. But I think they got an excellent opportunity to try some things here that can enhance the game. And I think this is one of them. I think by starting with a man at second base, that's like, you know, it's nervous. You're nervous right away. You know, what do you do as a manager? Do you bunt him to third, or do you take three shots and drive him in? I guess it would depend where you are in the order at that particular time.
Right.
Is what you would do. But the fact is, I find it's going to be exciting. And I think it's, you know, I also come to like your home run idea, too, because fans do like to see home runs. So
I love the home run derby idea. But I'm thinking of you, how often I'm sitting in the green room, you guys are going into the 10th inning, and like, you know, I'm a hockey guy. When you're watching hockey, you go to overtime. Overtime's exciting.
Yeah.
The 10th inning is not usually exciting. There's
no,
usually a closer who's rested, or a, you know, a top relief guy who's rested. And so you go 1-2-3, 1-2-3, we're on to the 11th. It's boring. Now, I like your little, you know, when you were just doing the Ron Renicki on the edge of a seat, because that's, we're going to go to the 10th inning. I do like that aspect of it. There's immediate strategy, immediate guys on edge. You got something to deal with here.
I agree with you 100%, because even as an ex-player, when you get into those extra inning games, they become terribly boring. They really do. And what happens is everybody tries to end it with one swing. They want to end it as quick as possible with a home run. And it seems like it never happens. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, guys get tired. They get worn out. They get sick of it. You got an 0-for-6 going in a long, you know, long extra inning game. You're not a happy guy. You know, you're right. This brings strategy right into the extra inning part of it. And you got to make a decision right off the chute what you're going to do with this man at second base. And I think that's a great idea. I really do. I think it's going to work. I hope it works, because it is awful sitting there some nights, you know, for 15, 16 minutes, and absolutely nothing good is happening.
That's right. 9 out of 10 times you just roll inning after inning with nothing happening. And what I know you love is that it might actually bring the bunt back into baseball, right? Because now
wouldn't
you got a guy on
second
base, right?
Wouldn't that be something? You know, if you saw a man at second base and a sacrifice and he's on third with one out. I can't believe I just saw that,
you know,
because you don't see that anymore. You know, now I will be surprised, though, if we see a lot of that. I think a lot of managers, I really think a lot of managers are going to go for the, let's take the three cracks at it. And to drive him in, he's already in scoring position. Let's take the three cracks. But again, I think it depends on where you are in the lineup. If you're at the bottom of the lineup and you can get to the, you know, get the man at third base, and then you get your 1-2 hitters coming to the plate, that's a little bit different. Then you probably bunt him right then. If you're in the middle of the lineup, you're not going to see JD Martinez bunt him over. You know, you're going to see those guys swinging away trying to drive that run in.
You're probably going to see J.D. Martinez intentionally walk to first base. That's the other part of that, right? The strategy from the pitching side is going to be, where do I use that walk? Do I try to get an out and then walk the guy? That's when it gets interesting.
Yeah, it's true. It's going to be good. A lot of the stuff that's coming up is good. I hope they come up with more. I really do. I want the pitch clock so bad in baseball. I remember playing in games that were 2 hours and 30 minutes, 2:35, 2:40. It was like you're always on your toes at all times. You know, everything's happening right away. And if the hitter didn't get in the box, the pitcher would drill him. You know, it's like, let's go. I'm ready to pitch. But now it's like, you know, let's go have lunch. Let's do this. Let's do, you know. And it's like, it's really boring, I think, for the game of baseball. So I would love to see that clock come in. But it's also going to be mandated for the hitters. You know, if you're not ready, it's a strike against you. Right. So I'm not going one way with this. I'm not just talking about pitchers. I'm talking about the hitters, too.
You know, I didn't see anything about this, so I assume it didn't make it in the final agreement. But they had in their last proposal, I don't know how you felt about this one, there was a proposal in there that a guy you took out during 9 innings could come back into the game in extra innings. I thought that was too gimmicky. What'd you think?
I didn't like it either. I didn't like it. Once you make that move, it's a strategic move, and I don't think you should be able to bring him back later in a ball game. That's why you've got the number of players on a roster that you got, and that I think is getting a little bit too gimmicky for me. I just think, you know, if you have to take a guy out early in the ball game, you know, let's suppose, for example, Bogaerts has to leave the game because he's got a little bit of a bad ankle. All of a sudden, you know, before he can put him back in the game, that doesn't make any sense to me. Right. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm not for that. I'm not for that.
And it should be noted, important to note, that man on second base would only be in the regular season. It's like the shootout in hockey. When you get to the playoffs, have at it. Play your 18 innings. Do what you got to do. There's too much on the line at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, they're saying they're doing this, you know, because they don't want players out there longer than they should be because of the odds of getting sick. And all. But the point is, I think it's going to be good for the game. I think all these things that they can put in are going to be good for the game. I really do. You know, we've talked many times in our conversations over the last 2 months. They've got to start doing things that are good for the game, that are more exciting for the game, to get fans more involved. And I think they've got an excellent opportunity right now to do that.
This one snuck up on me. I hadn't heard anything about this till today, where now a game that is stopped by rain before the fifth inning is not a rainout. It's stopped, and they continue that game the next day or the next time those two teams play. I love that. I'd never really thought about that. Should have done this a long time ago, because now their point is, you know, when it was a fourth inning before, you did everything you could to make it an official game. You'd wait 2.5 hours through a rain delay to get to that fifth or sixth inning.
Right.
Now, if it's raining hard and it's the third inning, you say, fine, go home. Right. We'll see you tomorrow. We'll play it before. I love that.
I love that, too. I love it, too. You know, we used to have a lead, and the manager used to tell us, swing at the first pitch and get out of there, because we want to make sure we hold this lead so we get out there and get the top of the fifth inning in. So you'd go up there at the plate in the bottom of the fourth inning. You weren't even trying.
Right.
You weren't even trying, you know, because you wanted
supposed
to
never give away an at-bat. Now you're giving away an at-bat.
We're giving away three at-bats. We're giving away three at-bats in that inning just because we got a one-run lead and we want to go into the top of the fifth and try to hold it. Never made any sense to me. So, I'm with you on this one, too.
A lot of other stuff, you know, that I'm not going to get into the health and safety stuff. We know no spitting, no sunflower seeds, no tobacco. Good luck with all of that. No high fives, no hugs. You know, Brock Holt told me, he said, I don't care. I'm going to get fined. I'm hugging guys when they hit home runs. We'll see what happens. But it is interesting. I found two specific things they put in there that they're really going to crack down on is no fighting. If you go out and fight, now you're obviously making contact with the other team. You're going to get severely dealt with. There will be immediate suspensions and all of this. And then anybody charging out of the mound to get within 6 feet of the umpire to argue is gone and is going to be in big trouble. So this, Earl Weaver would not have done well in the middle of a coronavirus.
Oh, so that stands for the managers too.
Manager, the manager can't. You can come out, but you can't get within 6 feet of the umpire to yell.
You gotta have a megaphone.
you gotta have your slide rule and come out and run right up to him.
You talk about Earl Weaver. He would have done that. He would have had a megaphone with him, you know, all 5 foot two of them, and he'd been yelling up at the umpires like this. It would have been hilarious.
See, what I can't wait is for you to be with your Telestrator show. Wait, look, he's gotten too close here. Here's Ron Renneke, here's the umpire. He's got to go.
That's interesting. I didn't hear that one, but that should be interesting if they have. But you know what? There's hardly any arguments in the game anymore because of replay. That's right. They're not. They're very, very few. There's a lot of yelling going out to the bench, but there are very few arguments that, you know, like plays at home plate or plays at second base, because now you have a replay that takes care of that. So that eliminates a lot of that.
All right, here's what I wanted to end on with you, Jerry. It's we were at training camp, spring training in Florida, and we knew that the starting pitching was going to be a little bit of a problem here for the Red Sox, and that was before Chris Sale got Tommy John. Right now he's out for the season. Do you think this short season helps or hurts the Red Sox playoff hopes?
I think it hurts. I really do. Because as time goes on, there are guys that they have that may have gotten healthy, and in a longer season, it's possible that you would see a guy like McHugh, for example. You know, I think that, you know, in time he would have been healthy. I don't know if he's going to be healthy for the start of this, but there's a guy that probably could have helped him in a longer season. I don't think anybody has an advantage here. I really don't. I don't think any team has an advantage. You get off, you know, the Yankees, look, they're the team to beat in our division, right? But they get off to a rough start, they're right in there with everybody else. So it's whoever comes out and pitches the best right out of the chute, I think, you know, and plays the crispest baseball in the first 15 to 20 games is going to have success. And you know, it can't be a year like last year where the Red Sox went out to the West Coast and had this disaster for the first, you know, 10 games of the season. And you're done. You're automatically done. So, I mean, it's going to be – every game is going to feel like it's – you know, you start watching the scoreboard, you know, like in July, where other teams are doing, are the Yankees winning, you know, is Toronto winning, you know, is Tampa Bay winning. You're going to be doing that from the first day of the season. The first day of the season, you're going to be looking at other teams' scores, because that's how little time you got.
Good way to try to remember it is every game is worth almost three games in a normal season.
That's
so if you go on a five-game winning streak, that's the equivalent of a 15-game winning streak in a regular game. You sweep a series, that's a huge threat. And your schedule, I'm telling you, I can't wait to see the schedule, because, you know, if you open up with five against the Orioles, I've heard there are rumors there could be five-game series instead of five with the Yankees. You know, the Yankees are loaded, as we know. You better take advantage of the weak spots of your schedule, because there aren't many.
You got to beat up on a bad team. Unfortunately for the Red Sox, there are not many bad teams in this division. You know, they really are not.
Well, Jerry, this has been a nice change of pace. We've talked baseball for the first time in a while.
It's been good. Now get yourself ready for the pregame.
Let's go. Well, I'm going to see you a lot. Dave O'Brien called me this morning. He's like, all right, you got to show me around the studio. Like, yeah, he's never in the studio. He doesn't know how this stuff works. So
I just got to find a little cubby hole to go to so I can get my work done in a nice and quiet place, you know, and come out and put on the big show. It's going to be great.
Can't wait to see you. Can't wait to watch baseball. We'll do it soon. Jerry, this was fun. Thanks.
All right, TC.
That's Jerry Remy. I'm Tom Caron. This has been the TC and Jerry Podcast. Thanks for joining us.